Great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, and it's a great honor to be here, especially because I have read Professor Yari's paper for many, many years and worked on it for many, many years, and now I can come to see him in person and to learn of the history of this influential paper. So, let's see, which, is it working? Is it working or what? Oh, you're using yours, okay. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that works.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I can just use this. Okay, I just used it in the meantime. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now actually in Yari's 1965 papers, there are four models. Most of us who are, the one that we talk about today more is on the one with the annuities or actuarial notes. But here I'm, actually what I have worked on is the first model in his paper. There's no bequest motive, and there's no annuities. So it's just a simple life cycle model of consumption with a liquidity constraint, which is indicated by the this one, the wealth or the savings, okay, or the wealth, actually, wealth holdings. Okay, so that's the liquidity constraint or borrowing constraint, and that's the consumption. And so this is the survival function, the probability of survival, and this is the discount rate, which is usually the exponential, and this is a utility function, and C is the consumption. And then there's the equation describing how saving changes with the interest rate. So this is the interest income, this is the non-interest income, and this is the consumption. So that's the first Yari model in the 1965 paper, which I'll talk about. And actually, I'll talk about the other Yari paper, which we didn't mention this morning at all. Okay, actually there are three Yari papers. So that's the model. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to get to be familiar with this. Now there are two fundamental issues about the model which I just described here. Now whether this problem actually has a solution mathematically, it looks to be a very simple model by today's standard, okay? And then, but does this model have a solution? Okay? And then, and whether the solution is unique if it exists, okay? And so there are two fundamental issues there. Now it turns out there's another paper, also 1964, which I actually run, I think I forgot how I think I Googled it and I came across this one, because not many people talk about this Yari paper, okay, which is actually appears in Econometrica. And I just asked Professor Yari earlier that he had three papers in his dissertation. He mentioned the two this morning. This is the third one, which is published in Econometrica, where he gave an example where there's no solution to this simple optimization problem, what he called the Model A in his 65 paper, okay? Now, the thing that he has is this utility function, consumption minus exponential, and then the discount rate is this one, then there's no discount, okay? Interest rate is zero, survival function is just a linear function, and then we normalize the maximum lifetime at one, no income, saving is wealth holding at time zero, initial wealth is positive, and this optimization problem does not have a solution if the initial wealth is bigger than log of 2. Now, you don't know where this comes from, but if you read his paper, then you know how this one would come into place, okay? And then the solution would exist if and only if this is small, okay? Now this is very funny in the sense that it's counterintuitive. There's no optimal way to consume the endowed wealth, the initial wealth, if it is too large. If you have too much money, there's no solution, okay? When it is too small, I mean, if it's small enough, then you have you can solve the model. There's a solution. Okay, so a minute increase in the initial wealth can change the model from one without with an optimal solution to one without. Okay, when S is higher, there's no solution. Okay, that means it's an interesting finding. So now in this example, the non-interest income or labor income, what we described earlier in the previous sessions, is assumed to be zero. Okay, now I show that actually when you have non-labor income, it raises the likelihood that the optimization problem will not have a solution. It's even worse. The existing problems is exacerbated. Okay, so that's the interesting part about this kind of model. Now, so here I try to describe the work that I have done, okay, and published. I'll come to something that I have just worked on in the last few months. But let me finish the earlier work, okay? So what's the cause of the existence problem? Okay, why is there no solution to the model? Okay, now, and then in my earlier work, I find out that in the Yari model, in the simplest model, actually you can characterize the model in the following way: if the marginal utility of consumption at zero is finite, okay, the first condition, or if the non-labor income is positive at the maximum lifetime, either one of these conditions hold, then there exists a time such that the wealth will be zero and consumption will be equal to income for the rest of the lifetime, starting from T star. So that's the characterization. Okay? So you can derive this from the model without making any extra assumption. Okay? So this, the theorem states that there must be what we call a terminal wealth depletion time if either of these two conditions is satisfied. Okay, so the entire wealth must be exhausted. Instead of having wealth exhausted at the final maximum lifetime, it is exhausted earlier. And it's terminal. So this is a diagram describing it. Okay, your initial wealth is right there, and then normally you would just deplete it, with, assuming there's no bequest motive, right, as we have done so. You deplete it at the last day to the maximum lifetime. Now you deplete it before that. Okay, that's the profile or trajectory. And then the consumption would, because you have depleted your wealth, then consumption must, I'm still playing with this. The consumption must be equal to income, okay, from then on, because you are not accumulating any money, okay? So that's the characterization. Now, it turns out that you can use this characterization to understand the existence problem, because the existence of this terminal wealth depletion time is similar to the existence of a solution to this original Yari problem. So if you find that in some circumstances you cannot solve this T star from the problem, for example, the equation that determines there's no root, then it means that the original problem does not have a solution. So I try to link the two together, and then I can piece together the two Yari's paper, 64 in Econometrica and and 65 in the RE stat. Okay. So this finding, it also, now the condition is satisfied usually because of the existence of pension or social security benefits, and also we observe this in simulation work. Actually, I forgot to cite Jim's work. Okay, Jim Davis also had work on these simulation stuff, which I forgot to put it down, but I would. Okay, I will do so. And so I'll skip these hazard function. Now, the reason for the wealth depletion is basically that the discount rate goes to infinity. This is the discount rate. We go to infinity because the discount rate in the sense of the combined discount rate because of the hazard function, the survival probability going to zero as T gets to the maximum lifetime. So when the discount rate goes to infinity, something's going on with the equations that will force the constraint to be binding. Okay. So that's the idea. Okay. So what is new in my earlier paper is that I prove it analytically and unambiguously that an uncertainty of lifetime will lead to terminal wealth depletion before the maximum lifetime. So that's the earlier work. And then I simulate the model using the CRRA UT function. And then I want to see how the T star, the terminal wealth depletion time, depends on the parameters. Turns out that they are not insignificant, okay? Depending on what you assume, okay? These numbers, you can think of this as the age, okay? So some people will deplete their wealth 3 years after retirement, okay? 68 or even 1 year after, depending on the value of these gamma, alpha, the discount, this is discount rate, this is the risk aversion stuff, and the income ratio. So this one shows that there are some empirical relevance there. Okay, so I'll skip these stuff, I guess, for the sake of time. And then actually, the equation that determines the T star is this one. It's a very complicated equation in the general case, but in simple cases you can solve it. Okay, and then this leads to the three fundamental questions about this phi function: whether this one has a root, okay? Whether this one, when you solve for the wealth depletion time, whether it's possible for it to have multiple roots, and whether if it is a unique root, is it necessarily optimal? Okay, if there are multiple roots, which one, if any, is optimal? So there are existence, uniqueness, and optimality issues about the roots. So then, and it's related to the existence problem. If this function does not have a root, then the original problem will not have a solution. Okay, so one can then ascertain the existence through the proving the existence of a root for the phi function. Okay, and I can show the log 2 as well. Okay, I'll skip the this one. So these are all contained in my other paper, which is in 2009. Okay, on this multiple root thing, this existence thing first. Okay, this existence first. Which give sufficient conditions to guarantee the existence of the root, okay, the T star, and hence the existence of a solution to the original problem, okay. And the conditions are not as strict as Yari's original condition in his 64 article, okay. And so these are the conditions which I'll skip. This is Yari's condition in his paper. And mine is easier to satisfy in some sense. Okay. But anyway, so and the two conditions bear no resemblance. Okay. Okay. So this is the existence. And then what happened if there are multiple words? I have another paper which talked about the existence of words, which is very complicated. Okay. And when there are multiple words, depending on whether they are isolated or if they are a continuum. Or a combination of the two. So there are a lot of technical details which talk basically boils down to that there's only one root that is optimal. Okay? Although you can have multiple roots, you can solve the equation, there are multiple roots, but only one of them is optimal. Okay? And so I'll skip this because I want to talk about the things that I have done recently. And okay, I'll skip this. And, okay, now I'm talking about the annuitization thing that I've been working on. Okay. Now, so we have seen annuitization in the sense of the annuities or actuarial notes that we have seen this in the previous sessions. Okay, now I'm going to use this Yari model with the logarithmic utility function, and with no stochastic thing other than the stochasticness in the lifetime. That's all the randomness there. To see, to examine the decision to annuitize. Okay. So this is the model that I'll use. same model as the Yari A model, model A in Yari 65. And then same thing except the logarithmic, and also I assume the linear survival function. I don't assume any discount rate because this would allow me to get closed form solution for simplicity. Okay. Many of these results hold in the general case, but for illustration, I just use this simple ones. Now, the baseline model, you can calculate the function, turns out to have a very nice function, and then you can verify this value, okay? The lifetime utility will be given by this expression. This will be used as the benchmark by which we compare the ones with annuities. So to see whether people with annuities would have a higher lifetime utility, okay? So this is a benchmark solving from this benchmark model, okay? Now we consider annuities. Oops. The costless one, in the sense that when you purchase an annuity, there's no cost, okay? Administrative costs, etc. So now my annuities are very simple, okay? I stop at time tau, okay? At time tau, I stop. I spend all my wealth at time tau to purchase an annuity, which would give me a constant stream of income, M, determined by this equation. So this is my wealth at time T, tau. I spend it all to purchase an annuity, and so it's geared by my survival function, and then M would be the flow of income, which I can get in return for selling my wealth to this insurance company. So then the lifetime utility becomes, because at time tau, before time tau, I have this consumption profile and utility. After that, I consume log of M for the rest of my life. So that's the new optimization problem. So then the question is, when would you purchase this annuity? What's the tau? What's the time tau when you solve this problem? So this is a very simple problem. And when you grind the algebra, you solve this model, you find that V1, now I call 1, this is model number 1, would depend on this complicated thing, depending on when you annuitize. Okay, so this is the value. Okay, now it's dependent on tau. So the question is, okay, you now have to pick the tau that will maximize this V1. Okay, so what's the tau that maximizes? First of all, you have to maximize the S, the wealth, okay? You want to find the optimal thing. Now, this is like a scrap value function in terms of optimal control. So you want to find a scrap value, okay? So then you find that it's equal to this, and then you plug it back, and now everything is in terms of tau. Now you maximize this in terms of tau to find when to annuitize.
But why is it immediate?
No, it's immediate, okay? It turns out, of course, it's immediate, okay? You foresee what would happen, okay? So because of this, okay, the optimal is that you purchase it now. And once you plug in 0, you find that this value, lifetime utility income, is larger than the previous one, the benchmark. So it makes sense to annuitize. It confirms that it's optimal to annuitize at time 0. The annuities are so attractive that it's optimal to annuitize it at the very first moment when it is available, okay? So that's the idea, okay? So this is the benchmark, costless annuities. Now, so then you have to explain, okay, they are costless, that's, and also actually fair. That's why you want to annuitize now. So the next thing is to consider, okay, introduce the cost of annuities into the model. And then two ways to do it, at least. Okay? One way is to have a fixed cost. If you purchase an annuity from me, you have to pay a fixed cost. Or you have to pay a proportional cost where I will take away, it's like a tax, okay? I'll take away alpha percent so that your annuitizable wealth becomes this. So these are the two ways to see whether you annuitize now, okay? So you grind the algebra again, okay? Going through the same procedure, which I'll skip, and then you maximize it with respect to S of tau. It's a complicated algebra, and then you then substitute into it, then you get this function. Now I call V2 for the second model. Now you try to see, okay, V2 is maximized once again at tau 0. Okay? Not surprising again, right? I'll maximize tau 0. But there's a caveat. when you substitute tau 0 into the value function, it depends on f. So now then you have a comparison. It may not be bigger than the benchmark. It depends on the size of this f. The benchmark is this one. Without annuity, that's the lifetime utility. With annuity, but you have to pay a fixed cost, then you have this lifetime utility. You have to compare, and this boils down to this inequality. So that means if the fixed cost is above 40%, that smaller than 40% of the initial wealth, then you will optimize at tau zero. If it is bigger, then you will not optimize, you will not annuitize at all. So this fixed cost.
What do you do with wealth instead?
So
where is it sitting instead?
Oh, you just do the benchmark optimization model. There's no, you don't purchase the annuity.
So where's the money sitting?
Just a lifetime consumption model. The previous model, you consume in the simple Yari A model without annuities. Because this one is too expensive. The F is too high. It doesn't pay to purchase it. So you find that your lifetime utility is highest when you just go through the standard optimization. And you get this utility. Okay. So the cost of annuities is too high and it does not pay to annuitize. Okay? The amount can be interpreted as the individual's maximum willingness to pay for annuities. So if you are insurance company, you know this is the maximum willingness to pay. You can charge as much as this to attract the person to buy the annuity. Okay? So that's the idea behind this fixed cost model. Okay? Now you can look at the proportional cost. Instead of the fixed cost, you charge a proportional cost of this. Okay? So then you go through the algebra again, the same program, substitute everything in it, you get this function. Now you optimize it once again. This time it's not zero. It's the tau star, the optimal time to annuitize happens to be the alpha. Okay, what is alpha? Alpha is the proportion, is the tax rate or the cost of the annuities. Okay, so this one is a very interesting result, okay? Your alpha is the charge that you pay to the insurance company. Now you would, if say for example the 10%, then you would annuitize at 0.1. If the scale is 0 to 1, at time 0.1 you annuitize. Okay, so that's the time, and this holds in the general. Actually, the you can prove in the general utility function and general survival function that this is the case. Okay. So then you have to plug it back and see whether this utility function is bigger than the benchmark. And indeed, okay, this one would be bigger than the benchmark. Okay? Compared to the case where annuities are costless, it's worse off. But compared to the case where you don't have annuities, it's better off. So that's the so you still purchase the annuities. Okay? So the availability of proportional cost annuities unambiguously improves welfare. The higher the commission rates, the later is the conversion to annuities. If you don't charge anything, you annuitize immediately because they are costless, okay? If you charge 100%, of course they won't annuitize, okay? It's too expensive. Okay, so you can see I will skip these. So then in the paper I talk about other things. Okay, now I introduce positive interest rate, and then you redo the whole thing again. Okay, basically the results are similar when you introduce interest rate. Okay, I'll skip these and then. There's a lot of the same program. Okay, so let's see. The conditions are more complicated, but the ideas are the same. Okay. So let me summarize. For costless annuities, it's optimal to purchase them at the very first moment. For fixed cost annuities, It's also optimal to purchase them at the very first moment, provided it's optimal to annuitize, same as the before, okay? In the case of positive interest rate. And for proportional cost annuities, it's optimal to purchase them at a later time, okay? So, okay? But when the interest rate is positive, it's not optimal to purchase annuities at the very first moment, regardless of whether they are costless or whether the cost is fixed or proportional. So that's the difference, which is discussed in the paper. Okay? When interest rate is positive, it pays to delay the annuitization time because wealth holdings generate interest income. There will be no interest income after complete annuitization. Okay. All right, so these are the models where you talk about when and whether to annuitize. The next thing is talk about the degree, how much to annuitize. So here I try to study the model where you can allocate part of your wealth to purchase annuities. Before that, I assume that you annuitize completely. Here I look at the question of partial annuitization. So again, you can read the paper. The result, when you don't assume complicated things, you annuitize completely, okay? There's no partial. I'll skip these. The math is complicated, but the idea is straightforward. You completely annuitize in this case. Okay, so complete annuitization is optimal. Now, of course, the general model is to study both the degree and the time, when and how much. Okay, then the model is much more complicated. And I don't know how to solve this one, okay? I don't have any idea yet in terms of a closed form solution when you can partially annuitize and find the date, okay? And I'll leave this right there, okay? Okay, let me conclude. Okay, the paper runs through a series of models that capture various aspects of annuitization in this model A in Yari, okay? The approach taken here is different from the one in the literature, okay? Like the Scott's one or Moshe's and also Chasinski's one, okay? I just look at a simple model and try to look at the annuities purchase, okay? The closed-form solutions are good, but the analysis is piecemeal because I cannot combine everything in one shot, okay? I have to do this one by one. So I hope that this is the first in this line of research. And there are many extensions that one can think of, okay? The survival functions, individual versus representative agent, okay? Here I assume that the annuity, the survival rate is the same as the purchaser. But actually, if you look at the real world, okay, your health, you may be healthier than the average, but the insurance companies use the average survival function to give you the annuity. So, and there's a gap between the two. What would happen? Okay, what's the implication when the two survival functions are not the same? Or in some financial instruments, they pay you annuity not based on your own survival function, but based on your child's survival function. Okay. So this is I guess some of you know this kind of annuities, okay? Instead of your survival function, they look at your dependents one, okay? So, and there are other features of annuities which you can incorporate into the model, like the ones in, say you get some fixed years of annuities, even if you may die before a certain time, okay? So we haven't incorporated these in the paper yet. Okay. So that's the my presentation. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, David. As David has said, my background is actually in applied mathematics. I don't actually know too much of finance. I should thank Moshe, actually, for the opportunity to to bring me to this field. I'm still learning, and I remember we started doing work together when we joined supervisor PhD students. I actually enjoy reading this paper. And the reason is that, of course, it's very educational for me, because a lot of stuff I actually don't know. And it's very nice to read through those very, very clear presentations, and case by case, I really now understand some of the issues in annuitization, especially because Moshe actually wrote a paper with Jenny Young, which was cited. And I tried to read it, but I must confess I haven't. So I come back, but this gives me a really good opportunity to learn the new material. The other part which Professor Liang skipped through quickly at the beginning, I actually found that also very useful and interesting, which is to prove the existence, uniqueness of the optimization problem to this very sort of seemingly simple setup of this life cycle model by Professor Yari. Also, it's because of personal interest, actually, Moshe and I just wrote a paper earlier. There are a lot of results, actually, which we could use from your paper. If you actually work on that model, it turns out it's actually quite interesting to find out when the wells deplete, because you will use different methods to solve the solution, especially when you actually don't know the analytic solution, I should say. Sometimes it's very useful. So I don't know how much more I can add, actually, to the discussion of the paper, other than saying that there are the features of the paper, which I'm going to talk a little bit in connection to something which Moshe and Tom actually we look at very recently. And we hope, actually, maybe Silva can give us some suggestions in terms of what we can go about, because the model I'm going to talk about right now is actually the simplest. It should be open. Don't like this point device. Okay. I want to spend maybe five minutes to talk about this very simple model we looked at recently with my colleague Tom and Moshe. Moshe came up with the title. So the question is actually let me go straight to the question. I think everybody familiar with this model, if not before, by now, certainly. So let's just go through this very quickly. Suppose you're a retiree and you want to know how to consume and at a certain age, and in this case, we set that age, time to be zero. You have certain wealth you started with, assuming that you don't have any other income. And now you want to maximize this expected utility. And the expectation is taken in this particular case over uncertain lifetime. We will assume that the investment income is completely deterministic. I put infinity, actually, it's from zero to some finite time. Then this rho is the discount rate, U is just the utility of consumption. So in most of the setup, people assume that this mortality rate is deterministic. For example, the Gompertz utility or exponential mortality. If you have a deterministic investment return, then you can rewrite this expectation into this deterministic interval with rho replaced by rho plus lambda. Lambda is the force of mortality. It could be a function of time, of course, but this is known, given to you. on the most models. So if you have GONPAS or some other models, you certainly know how this mortality is going to behave. And then you can solve this problem. So what you get is this expression. Essentially, you if you have CRR utility with this risk aversion parameter gamma, then it's a combination of this exponential function and this survival probability, right? So this is well known. So the question we want to ask is, I think it's fair to say that people use deterministic mortality rate model, but it's not clear whether that's actually completely true or even people agree. So suppose you are in the same position, you have the same amount of money to retire, you are relatively sort of with the same health status compared to the previous one, previous retiree, but you disagree on the mortality rate. You don't think it's actually deterministic. You think it's unpredictable, I should say stochastic. So, of course, you can think about different models. In this particular case, simple case study, we just pick one of the simplest models. We assume that the mortality rate itself is a geometric Brownian motion with time-dependent growth rate, we call it mu t. And so the question we ask is, suppose that you can calibrate this model so that it gives you the same survival probability at the time of retirement. And the question is, what is the impact of that on your consumption strategy, whether you're going to consume more or consume less? So that is the basic question. And in mathematics, we just set up this one in terms of this, again, expected discount utility. Because lambda s is non-stochastic, so we still need to take the expectation. Okay? So I don't think I have written down the equation, but there are some model parameters. For the numeric example I'm going to give to you, so let's say it is 65. You look at 30 years into the future. In this particular example, we assume that discount rate and investment return, which is deterministic by assumption, they are the same. And then we calibrate our stochastic model to the GONPAS, which is just exponential. And the survival probability for the GONPAS is easy to compute. So we use the RRA. So this is the normal stochastic mortality rate. So essentially, you can write this one into the deterministic part plus the stochastic part. Once you calibrate the model which gives you this parameter mu, then you can try to by solving this equation. Then you can then solve the optimal consumption problem. Okay, so let me just repeat one more time. So you start with your optimal consumption model under deterministic mortality rate, let's say GONPAS. You know this survival probability. Then you calibrate your stochastic model. We use this log normal, but you don't have to. You calibrate it. Then you go back to solve your optimal consumption. In general, you solve some backward differential equation for the consumption, but forward differential equation for the survival probability. So you can ask, this is the estimated rate. So it turns out it's not constant, obviously. But what's surprising is come out, this is actually growing very fast. It's actually faster than exponential. If you try to fit this curve. So this is actually, I don't know whether you can see it, this is actually a solid line with dots on it. So they are on top of each other. Basically, it means that our calibration gives almost the same survivability. And this is the mu. And once we have mu, then of course we can solve the optimal consumption problem, which is Hamilton-Jacobi-Bellman equation. And here are some numbers. So maybe I will look at the table. So there are three cases in terms of the volatility of the stochastic mortality rate. Sigma equals to zero is just deterministic. That's the Gompatz. So this is the Gompatz model. And then we have 15% and 25%. Remember, we're just trying to get some sense. So the number itself is actually not that important. And then we look at the effect of this risk aversion parameter gamma. So there are something quite interesting, actually. So if we look at gamma equals to one case, which is the log utility case, and the stochasticity of the mortality rate has no impact. So give you exactly the same thing. If you have a more risk-averse individual, then you tend to, so let's say this red one, because this corresponds to this curve, so gamma equals to 5, and you can see that the difference is quite small, by the way. So, but you have an increase in terms of the consumption where you increase the volatility. So if your gamma is less than 1, it's actually the other way around. So you actually decrease your consumption. And Tom actually has a theorem to prove that. So it's actually quite nice to be able to produce actually numerically, because the difference is quite small. So you have to be very, very careful when you're doing the computation, actually. That's something else which I'm not going to get into. So on this graph, basically tells you the same story. So you started at time 0, and now you compare the two cases, deterministic versus stochastic. And you see that the row actually, the two curves actually switch at time 0. Remember, those numbers are time 0, and only time 0 numbers are actually relevant in this case. Okay? So, let me quickly summarize. So, what we have shown is, as I said, that for log utility, there's no difference whether you believe your mortality rate is deterministic or stochastic, at least for this type of setup. For CR utility, then the impact depends on whether positive or negative, depends on whether risk aversion or not, And then we actually also look at the different type of models, and we are going to actually look into more a little bit more carefully, because computationally there are some issues we need to resolve because of this faster than exponential increase. The other thing I should mention is that this is a very simple setup. We do not include pension income, for example, and also the possibility of annuitization. So it would be interesting to look into that. And so we see this one as some kind of an extension of the original work by Professor Yari and also Professor Liang's actually recent work. So I think that's all I want to say. Thank you.